Amen. All right, we're reading today, to begin with, from the book of St. John. And we're reading in the 16th chapter. And we're going to begin our reading in verse 12. St. John 16, verse 12. And before we read, let's bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, Lord. We come in thy precious name, Lord, praising you, God, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You never change. And Lord, you promised to be with us. And Lord, you said if just two or three would gather together in my name, you said, there am I in the midst. So we pray this morning, God, that we'll fully recognize your presence, that you're in the midst, and that you're moving, and that, Lord, we're not just gathered here to see each other, which is good to see each other, but we're gathered here in your name to fellowship with you. And we just thank you, Lord, that you've given us this honor and privilege that we could do that. Now bless the reading of the word. Bless the hearers, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you that had the prayer request now, I want you to be sure to begin to expect God to answer prayer because we're gathered together in His name. He said, I'm in the midst, and we have become one with Him, so your request is His request to the Father. See? He requests the Father to meet your needs. Amen, because by one Spirit you're baptized into His body. And when that takes place like that and you realize that, it's just not you going to the Father alone, but you're with Him, you're in Him, and He will grant your request. Praise God. And that's a good part about being in Christ. And Christ, He said, I'm in you, you in me, and so on. And by one Spirit you're baptized in the body. And where any two or three gathered agree on touching one thing, it shall be done. And He says, another scripture, ask anything according to my will, I'll do it. See? Amen. So we thank God for that. Amen. Now, this morning, we're taking a thought on the ministry of Jesus Christ and the seventh seal. Now, the seventh seal is in the book of Revelation. But here we're reading about the ministry of Jesus Christ and what He said when He left. One thing that He did when He left the door open for a follow-up ministry, see? Amen. So that's going to be very important here, that when Jesus was crucified, that wasn't all the word that was to be revealed, see? Because had it have been, the Gentiles would not have been saved because the Gentiles didn't come in till quite a few years later. So, Jesus, speaking to His disciples here in verse 16, He had told them many, many things, what was to be and so on and so forth. But He, before He left, He told them this, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He says, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, said I, that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, the essence of what we read there is this. That there's many things Jesus was going to reveal to the church that He didn't reveal while he was yet alive, see. And he said, when the Holy Ghost, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will teach you. He will lead you. It opened the door, left the door open for a continuing ministry to go forth. Say, amen. And that's what we're looking at today. The ministry of Jesus Christ is a continual ministry. It didn't end with Jesus Christ going to the cross or Jesus Christ ascending to heaven. But when he came back on the day of Pentecost in the form of the Holy Ghost, he continued to bring revelation in that hitherto had not been made known. Amen. For instance, Jesus, when he were here, he spoke of water baptism. John the Baptist spoke of water baptism. But they left no correct formula of how it would be. But he says, I'm going to leave other things to be said, because I got many things to say, but they're not appropriate at this time, but we'll be on down the road, say. And he told his disciples there, I believe over in the 17th chapter of John, he said there that I pray not only for you alone, but I also pray for those that will believe upon me through their words. Talking to the praying to the Father, I want to pray for thee, but I want to pray also for those that will believe upon me through their words. Meaning that the apostles would come and continue the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Alright, in this hour, the ministry is continuing. Amen. And Jesus Christ is not here in the flesh other than in us, see. Amen. The Bible said we're baptized into His body, so we take on, that's the way the body of the mighty angel, Revelation 10, takes on human flesh through us. Amen. When I look at you, see, I'm looking at a member of the body of Christ. Amen. Now, not any of us amount to the fullness of Christ, see, but all together we make up what Christ is. Amen. And therefore, we are looking to God to continue to bring more revelation as we go along. And myself, as I look back over the years, I can see how the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ came and how that more and more we were learning more about the Word of God. Because at one time, I was just going to church and didn't know a lot about the things of the Lord. But as we progressed and studied and prayed and fasted, then God has remembered, or God has given us more of His Word, His blessing, and now we see clearer the plan of salvation. And Jesus said to us at one time, said you once looked through a glass, through the Apostle Paul in the fifth chapter of, or third chapter of 2 Corinthians. You once looked as looking through a glass darkly, see. That's the way you saw things. It was looking through a glass darkly. But now, it's as clear as crystal. He said, face to face. Amen. We've come face to face with a clear, precise, revelated Word of God. And we know the way. Hallelujah. Because He said, I am the way. Now, as we look at and bring in the seventh seal a little later on in the message, I would like to say that God has moved us from revelation to revelation, from faith to faith. We don't change faith. We grow into faith, you know. Amen. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. That's the thing we get in and we stay in all through our life, but we grow in that. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I think that shirt I got on here, I was over in West Malaysia. Had been on a tour. I've been in Singapore and different places. Went over in West Malaysia. And Brother Richard Gann from Singapore, I'd done some meeting for him. And he accompanied me into Malaysia. And he certainly was a great help going through, because he's been in the area before and he knew the ropes out a little better than what I did. But I put his shirt on this morning. I thought, that shirt, there's a mysterious thing about this shirt. This is a designer shirt in West Malaysia. But I got over there, and we left here. My sister Jeannie, natural sister, and Brother Zima's wife, Sister Charlotte, they packed, was helping with my suit, getting my luggage ready, and packing my clothes in there. But I got over there and opened my suitcase, and there wasn't a single shirt in there. So I told Brother Zima, he was traveling with us also, I said, George, Jeannie and Sister Zima didn't put a single shirt in my suitcase. He said, oh, yes, they did. I saw them. I said, okay, look here. There's no shirts there. He said, well, I can't help it. I saw them put them in. I said, you mean somebody would get the luggage and just get the shirts out and leave everything else? He said, I don't know what they done, but I know they put the shirts in because I saw them putting them in. Well, I went ahead and bought some shirts over in Malaysia. Amen. I gave Brother Samuel Francis one of the blue ones like this. And I was up and he liked it and he says, I said, okay, you can have that shirt. He said, you ain't got it belly stretched, have you? I mean, I'd never heard that said before, but it was where I guess you eat too much, got too fat and trying to get... Amen. But went on, had the meeting done in Malaysia, and came back to Singapore. And we were getting ready to leave, going to Manila. And we traveled throughout the Philippine Islands. But we got there, and I was chewing gum there in the airport. And a policeman come up and says, you don't chew chewing gum here in this airport. Yeah, I think the leader there felt under one of those seats there and some chewing gum. There's no more chewing gum to be chewed in the airport. Singapore is a great place, but you got to walk straight and obey the rules. Amen. I enjoyed my visit there. So I thought he's just going on, so I just kind of ignored him. He stared me down. He said, there's a garbage pail over here. And he didn't smile, he didn't. And so I just went and got rid of the chewing gum. But then I got a call over the intercom. Ben Howard, come to the information desk. So I got there and there was two policemen standing there. I thought, well, what are these folks trying to do here? So I got there and they said, you have a package. You have a package delivered and you can't bring it in, we send these two policemen, they will, open the door, cause once you go through security, you can't go in and out, you know. So they went there, that was a brown paper bag. I thought, now, what in the world? They said, are you expecting the package? I said, no, I'm not expecting the package. And I got there and, they opened the door and, they got the package out and went through very carefully to be sure that it was my shirts in that package in a brown paper bag. And how they got out of the suitcase and who got them and why they decided to bring them back and how they knew where I was coming in next and all, I don't know. But I got there and they went through the shirts to be sure that was the only thing that was in the bag, shirts. So they brought them in. And I went back and showed Brother Lehman. He says, I don't know why. And we didn't know what happened, but somebody evidently got the shirts and left everything else. And I didn't figure out why, but they brought them in there to us, and we got them back, and we went from there on into Manila. But that's when I got to get the shirts over in West Malaysia. Amen. I don't want to. As I've said over and over, thank God for Brother Gann going with us into the areas that I've never been before and for being gracious to us in the, when we were in Singapore. Amen. And he, took a picture of me over there and he wanted, I would always be on a diet, drinking Diet Cokes, you know. But next thing I know, I'd slip and get a candy bar. drinking the Diet Coke, eating the candy bar. So He got a picture of me with a Diet Coke and a candy bar. He enjoyed showing that. Said, this man, you're on a diet. Watch him. He won't drink nothing but diet. That was a big candy bar in the other hand. Amen. So I thank God that He has taken care of. And strange thing can happen to you in life. So I thank God that He's taken care of us throughout. And there's mysteries. Amen. Some things you don't understand. One of the things that's a mystery there is how come somebody get the shirts and nothing else? And how'd they know I was coming back to Singapore? And how'd they know when I would be there? Amen. And the shirts were so ironed and fixed so good. You ain't never seen shirts ironed and fixed so good. So I got some extra shirts there. So that's one of the little things that happened to us on travel. Amen. Well, in traveling in the Word of God, there's things coming your way you just don't understand. And you watch them and you wait for them and the understanding comes. But I'm sure Brother Francis is glad it happened because he got him a shirt from Malaysia. Amen. And we just thank God for the way that He's led us and guide us. From out of the mountains up here, He led us and guided us, and now the ministry is all over the entire world, and we thank God for it. And thank God that as we got back to Philippines, over in Manila, there was about 100 preachers, give or take, maybe more, I didn't count them, but a large number. They all wanted to know why I was there and so on. I said, I'm here to present the Lord Jesus Christ to the people. Well, they said, we would like to ask you some questions. Have a minister's conference and let you answer. So I said, that'll be great. The pastor says, that was working with me, said, you don't have to if you don't want to now. But I said, I want to. So we got over there and all the questions was answered. The Holy Ghost just come upon me. And I was able to answer every question to their satisfaction. And we walked out there. I had about 100 invitations to go to the different areas of the Philippines. God moved. Brother Zimmer said, I heard about Brother Brannon, how that he was with those ministers in Chicago. And God moved on the scene and shut them all up. He said, now I can say I've seen with my own eyes how God can move right in and take someone over and speak through them and answer every question to the satisfaction of everyone that's represented. Amen. That's what our God can do. How many believe He can do that? Amen. Now that's when we look at the Lord. That's when we depend on the Lord. That's when we know that it's Jesus Christ. He's still talking. Hallelujah. Now when I get up here to preach, if I'm the only one you hear and see, then you're not getting it, say. Praise God, because you can hear my words, but can you hear Him that's causing me to say these words? Hallelujah. So that's what Jesus was doing here. He was saying, now I'm leaving, fellas. He said, but there's a whole lot to be done, a whole lot to be said, and I'm going to leave the door open, but He said, I'm going to come back in to you. He said, I'm with you now. See, I'm with you now. I'm here with you in the flesh. You can see me. You can talk to me. You can ask me questions. You've slept with me. You've ate with me. You've traveled with me. He says, but when I'm gone, He said, I'm going to come back and be with you. See, I'm with you now, but I shall be in you. And He said, the Father will teach you all things. And who was it said, Thomas, wasn't it? Who was it said, show us the Father, that we may be satisfied. And He said, have I been so long with you and you don't even know it? It was the Father in Christ. Amen. Jesus said, the things I say, the things I do, He said, I do nothing till the Father shows me first. Amen. So that's what we got to do in the things of God. We got to recognize it's just not us, see. Amen. And if it is just earth, we would be just as well off somewhere else or doing something else, wouldn't we? Amen. But we come to meet with Jesus and hear Jesus talk to us and know that He's among us. He's leading. He's guiding. He's speaking. Amen. And He's going to get a people out here soon. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I want you to know He left the door open. Well, in this last day, God has sent a great message. And it spoke of in the book of Luke. Let me just turn to the book of Luke here just for a moment. We've had a prophet to walk in this land. And we've had a prophet to bring the word of God and the seals were open. But when he came to the seventh one, the thing I want you to notice, when he came to the seventh one, the only thing he did is open the door and let us know there's more to come, see. And God took him home, see. Praise God. But let's look here. In the last days, Jesus, the Son of Man is to be revealed to the Gentiles. Now this is reading in Luke. I'll read first and then I'll make my comments here. Luke 17. And we'll start verse 18. Because here's something very important. Amen. All right. Amen. Just wanted to talk about it a little bit till the Lord just gave us direction and get solids here. So we're in Luke 17th chapter, and I'm going to begin reading. It's verse 26 here. It says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." Now he's making a prediction about a day that is to come. And then he says, they did eat, they drank, nothing wrong with any of that. They married wives, they were given in marriages until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. In other words, life was going on, see. But it was a day like in the days of Noah. Now, there's several things about the days of Noah. Amen. And one of the things about the days of Noah was the fact that They married women of all whom and as many as they chose. But now, it's not only talk about the days of Noah, it talks about another spirit in the earth today. And it says, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. Now, I want you to hold that. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, and they planted, and they built it. Now, I want you to know here he mentioned two separate days, and there's two spirits going to be here at the end time. It's going to be one like it was in the days of Noah, but he said also like it was in the days of Lot. It was sexual perversion, homosexuality and all that. All scholars will agree on that. That was rampant in the land. He said this condition will be in the earth when the Son of Man is revealed, see. And then they go on, they were carrying on planting, buying, selling, and so on like that. Amen. I'm often wondered, since Sodom and Gomorrah was such a great metropolitan area, and it was real estate that I understand was very expensive, see. Amen. But I often wonder this, the day after the fire fell, how expensive was the real estate then? Amen. But that God, He sent two angels there to warn them and to bring out Lot and his family. But Lot had a couple of daughters that was married, and they didn't want to come out. And Lot's wife, you've heard turning to a pillar of salt, one of the shortest scriptures in the Bible is that remember Lot's wife. That means she looked back, see. She looked back at Sodom. She had stuff there that was more important than going forward. She hated to leave it. Amen. But the angel and Lot was pulling her along. She didn't want to leave. And God said, don't look back. He said, get out of the city and don't look back. Amen. Sometimes we got to make a move for God and we don't look back. Hallelujah. You can't go anywhere looking through the rearview mirror. You got to look straight ahead. Hallelujah. Jesus opened the door so we could go forward. He said, there's many things I have yet to say unto you. Amen. But said, you can't receive them now. It's not time for them now. But the Holy Ghost is going to come anoint men, and they're going to begin to preach. And Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Praise God. So the next verse is here. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now watch what he says. Thus, even thus, shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. Now I want you to hold something here. It don't say in the days that the Son of Man come. Amen. It says, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. Which means there's got to be a revealing of the Son of Man in this last day. Amen. And we've saw that takes place in our very day, our very time, our very hour we're living in. Amen. We've had a prophet walk this land, and he did exactly the same thing that Jesus Christ did. I'm speaking here of Reverend William Branham, a prophet that was began to see vision from his birth up. Amen. It's just a little child. He saw visions, and yet they came to pass all the way through his life, see. Amen. And he said there'll come a day when the Son of Man will be revealed again. And it'll be a day like Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. And we've had that day. The Son of Man has been revealed, and that has taken place, and God has took Brother Brown off the scene. That day's over with. Amen. But the door is wide open for us to go forward in God, go forward in the things of God, not looking back. Amen. In the sense of trying to go back there and do that again, that's done. Now, in the days of Jesus, let's follow this thought just a moment. God took Jesus Christ off the scene. Amen. And he came back in spirit form on the day of Pentecost. Well, there was many things that he left unsaid. But he said they will be said. I'm gonna be with you. I'm gonna come back in, I'll be in you and speak through you. And Jesus told them to go up to the upper room there at Pentecost. This is Acts chapter 1 and 2. Go wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you shall receive. So they waited several days, waiting for the Holy Ghost to come back, waiting for Jesus Christ to come back. Amen. And no doubt after 2 days or 3 days, some might have said, well, I believe we've already got it, what he said. I think we just need to go out here and start preaching. I believe that I don't think it's necessary to wait any longer. But he said, wait until you endured with power from on high. Amen. Well, he left the door open for more to come. He left the door open for more word to come. Hallelujah. And here they waited, and Peter and even the Virgin Mary was there waiting to receive the Holy Ghost, waiting to receive the Spirit of God. And after 5 days, I imagine there became a bunch of restlessness among them. I think it's already happened. I don't think there's any use to wait any longer. I really felt something tingling in my arm the other night, and I think that was the Holy Ghost. You know, and one said, well, you know, I had a dream last night, and I believe that was the Holy Ghost. Because he didn't tell them exactly what it would be. He said, go and tarry till you're endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. But when the Holy Ghost came, they knew about it. Amen. There was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And the Bible says it filled the house where they were sitting. And they began to rejoice in the Lord. They began to dance in the Spirit. They began to speak with tongues. Amen. They went out in the streets of Jerusalem, and the people at Jerusalem said, these folks are drunk on new wine. Amen. But Peter says, just the third hour of day. In other words, it's early in the morning. Nobody get drunk this early in the morning. Amen. And he didn't say they weren't drunk. Amen. They was drunk on the Holy Ghost, see? Amen. He says, but this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel, saying that I'll pour out my Spirit upon your sons and daughters, shall prophesy. Amen. I'll speak with this people in stammering lips and unknown tongue. Amen. They came out and they began to preach. Peter stepped out on the day of Pentecost and began to preach the Word of God. And they said, people got pricked in their heart. They got under conviction. And they said unto Peter, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now what? Peter said, repent every one of you. Watch this truth. He left the door open for it to go forward. Peter said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And about 3,000, amen, were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see the truth of God is spread out forward? That's the first time that water baptism has ever been done, as far as we know, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Prior to that, it weren't said how they were baptized. God began to reveal more truth, and the church began to move forward, a powerful church, and that powerful church began to do the same thing that Jesus did. Because He said, these things that I do, when He was raising the dead, healing the sick, and so on, these things that I do and greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. Amen. They began to preach. A revival struck Jerusalem, but it was only to the Jews. But watch, God's going to open another door in just a little bit, so that it'll come to us Gentiles, and that's who got it today, see. Praise God. Amen. Peter walked down the street. They had so much success in praying for the sick. Peter and John going up to the temple. That was a man, he was lame from his mother's womb. He held out his little cup asking alms. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. The man was so shocked and stunned at those words. He looked down. Peter reached down and got him by the hand. He began to leap and dance and praise God. Amen. Healed totally and completely. Jesus Christ was back in the church doing the same thing that He did when He was here before. Amen. Is that right? And Peter's ministry, God used him in such a way that he couldn't get around to praying for all the sick folk. So they brought the sick. This is the book of Acts. It's an interesting book. You might want to read. They began to bring the sick and lay in the street, and Peter walked by, and when Peter's shadow touched them, they were healed immediately. Hallelujah. Praise God. God once again had put a big move in the earth. It was Jesus Christ once again. Amen. But not in His earthly form. Amen. He was in His people, and that's where He's at today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. He began to tell how the world would be at a time when the Son of Man is revealed again. We saw the Son of Man revealed. God took the prophet off the scene, and now Jesus Christ is still here, see. Praise God. Now we see what Peter did there. A great revival, and I'm not planning on, and because of the sake of time and all, going through all the areas of Peter's ministry, but God had something else in the Word. He had in the Word there that He was going to go to the Gentiles, Acts the 15th chapter. He would take out of the Gentiles a people for His name's sake to be the very wife of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as time went by, God reached over and the Jews began to reject this Holy Ghost plan. Amen. And God cut the Jews off and He went over to get the Gentile. Praise God. Now this will be important in our day when we get over just a little bit further here. Amen. Yeah, there in the Bible days, in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, Peter was on the housetop praying. And the 11th chapter book of Acts says the apostles went everywhere preaching the gospel, but to none, notice it, to none but Jews only. Because that's who it was for then. But Peter was on the housetop praying. Amen. And here come the Lord Jesus Christ giving a vision. Amen. There was a sheet let down before him and all kind of things that was unlawful for a Jew to eat was on it. And the Spirit of the Lord said, Peter, rise, kill and eat. He said, not so, nothing common unclean ever come into my mouth. But he was talking about the Gentiles because they thought the Gentiles unclean. And it happened three times. And Peter, the Spirit of the Lord said, there's men at the gate now. Says, go with them. Doubting nothing. And we're in an hour today where we don't want to doubt nothing when it comes to the Word of God. He's going to fulfill it to the letter. And the total completion of the Word of God before we get out of here. Amen. The dead's going to raise. Amen. We're going to be changed in a moment, twinkling an eye. Hallelujah. Get a new body. And we're so close to that. Well, Peter went over to Cornelius' house. And the very same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost happened to the Gentiles. The Holy Ghost came down. He went to Cornelius' house, a Roman centurion. And I'm not going to relate the story in depth. It's the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, if you'd like to read it. But the Holy Ghost fell on the Gentile. It so astounded them. Because when Jesus Christ was here, He came to confirm the covenant to the Jews. Remember the woman that came to Jesus with, that had a little sick child? She was a Gentile woman. And she said, oh, thou son of David, have mercy on my child. And Jesus just ignored her. And she continued. And He said, it's not meet to take the children bread and give the dogs. And then she said, Lord, the dog desired the crumbs of the table. She called him Lord. Then she had a claim on that Lord, but not son of David. That's for the Jews' sake. Amen. He said, woman, go thy way. Thy daughter be healed. God opening new doors. And on the day of there when Peter went over there to Cornelius' house from Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fell on the Gentile. And now a new day has started. Praise God. Now we bring this in. The opening of the seals and all. Last week's message, and I know some of you get every message, so you know what I'm talking about. Last week's message, we brought on the finding the little book in the big book. Because in Revelation chapter 5, there's one sitting on the throne, and he has a book in his hand. It's sealed with seven seals. And this is after the church fell away. Amen. It went through the dark ages, but here at the end time, He said He would bring it back. He says, I will restore, saith the Lord. And we today are not willing to settle for anything less than what the early church had, and we're going on from there. Hallelujah. Paul got a revelation in his day and in his time before God took him home. He wrote it in the Word, and he brought in there about us getting a new body, not even going through the channel of death. Well, God said, I'm going to restore it back. So He restored it back by sending a message. Amen. When the church fell away, God had to seal the little book up. He sealed the whole Bible up. Amen. But within that Bible was a little book. Hallelujah. Amen. I could get this Bible out here and show you what's for the Gentiles. All the Bible's true. All of it's the Word of God. But let me just get together here the things that Paul wrote for the Gentiles. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. Compared to the Bible, it's a very small amount, see. Amen. Well, it was sealed away in the tomb of the big book. Let me close my Bible just a moment here to show you. Amen. Paul's 14 little books is sealed away in the tomb of this big book. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Hallelujah. When the church fell away there, it went into the dark ages. God took the book. Amen. He sealed it up with seven seals, see? Amen. And within the little book was within the Bible was a little book. The seals had to be opened before the little book be brought back to earth. Hallelujah. So that we could pick up exactly where the early church left off and begin to go forward. And we're going forward till we're changed in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. Praise God. Amen. Well, in the fifth chapter of Revelation, we got it on last week's message, so I'm not going to, some of you might not have heard the tape yet. But we find that there was one sat on the throne, had a book sealed with seven seals. But here come a lamb, and he claimed it, a bloody lamb, which showing that Jesus Christ redeemed everything that all that Adam lost, all that was lost in the Garden of Eden, all the way through, it's restored back. Amen. Now God created man and woman to live forever. Amen. Death is a foreign thing to us. It's not something that God's ordained. It's something that came about because there was a fall. And that hideous creature has no power against the power of God. Amen. He may come to you, and he has come and claimed people all down through, but God's going to raise them back up. But there's a people getting the revelation in this last day is going to say to this hideous creature, get lost. You've got no business here. I've got nothing to do with you. Jesus Christ has come in my life. Jesus Christ has given me the Word. Jesus Christ has given me eternal life. And Jesus Christ is changing little vile bodies. Amen. Making them new. Amen. We already have a body, Paul said in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. If this earthly tabernacle were dissolved, we have a body of God. When you die and go into the grave, there ain't nothing in that body there. Because it goes directly into that body that's reserved in heaven. But Jesus Christ come back in the last day in the Spirit, and He brings those bodies with Him. Amen. Not only for the dead. Amen. But we that are living, hallelujah, we'll step right over into that body. The Bible says concerning Enoch, by faith, Enoch was translated. He didn't see death, see. Hallelujah. He believed God. He believed it. Why? Amen. God said it, and he believed it. And if you can believe, all things are possible. Amen. All right, I'm going to have to leave some out here and not try to get everything today. But in the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, there's a book that's sealed, been sealed there since early age. And within that little book, within that Bible, there's a little book, 14 books that Paul wrote. It's for the saints. Hallelujah. And the Lamb come forth, a bloody Lamb. And this is all this pitch story you've seen, because the bloody Lamb, the Bible says, He has seven eyes and seven horns, which are the seven spirits of God. The bloody Lamb came and took the book. Amen. The bloody Lamb shows what Jesus did at Calvary. The seven eyes and the seven horns, amen, represent the seven working of God through the seven church ages. Hallelujah. Amen. But then we see Him not as a lamb. In Revelation chapter 10, we see Him as a mighty angel, Christ Himself. Now, God used Brother Brown in 63 to open the seals. The first seal, a white horse ride, showed the Antichrist, and on down, He perfectly did it. Amen. Opened the seals up. But when it came to the seventh one, amen, He did exactly like Jesus Christ did before Jesus Christ left. Before Jesus Christ left, He said, I'm not going to tell you everything. Oh, listen, don't miss this. Because I'm not going to get in the depths of it here. Time is getting away too swiftly. I'm not going to get in the depths of all this. But when Jesus Christ left the scripture I read to you, I've got a lot to say to you. Well, Peter said some of them dead Pentecost. Amen. Then he didn't tell them there that there would be a man come to represent Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul said, I am the ministry of Jesus Christ to you Gentiles. Not the Jews, the Gentiles. Amen. Ordained the ministry to speak for the Gentiles. And there are 14 books. It's the writing of St. Paul. It's for you. All the Word of God's true, but it's all not for you. Some of it's done fulfilled. We could look back and say, that was a flood. It was. We can look back and say, God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. He opened the Red Sea. He did. But there's something for you. for this day, for this hour, for the present time, to give you exactly what you need now. Hallelujah. He opened the little book up. Amen. Opened the seals. The seven seals opened up. Amen. Until it came to the seventh one. And when it came to the seventh one, it was open, but he says, there are some things that'll go to the grave with me. Some things I can't tell you. Amen, said, but it's just right around the corner. Amen, said, there's something else to take place. Amen, that's exactly what Jesus Christ said. He said, I'm not going to tell you now what's going to take place. He said, but I will come into you. He said, I've got many things to say to you. Oh, I wish we had that. I wish I could say it like this. I got many things to say unto you. What I've taught you, what I've said to you, that's just barely scratching the surface of what I've got to tell you. But says, I'm going to reveal it. Amen. Says, I'm going to reveal it as time goes by. Hallelujah. There's many things I have yet to say. But says, when the Holy Spirit's come, and the Holy Ghost, amen. He said, He will teach you all things and bring all the things I haven't said He's going to say. Amen. Well, the things that weren't left to us in the seal, in the restoration, the restoring back. Amen. Brother Brown didn't tell us many things that would take place. He didn't tell us there'd be a man named Raymond Jackson that would type out like Peter. Amen, and clear up all that was going to happen to Israel, clear up the rest of the fifth seal, bring in the many, many great truths. Neither did he tell us, hallelujah, that this mighty angel is coming back to earth to bring a book, and there will be a message, and when you eat that little book, he said, prophesy again. Amen. Now let me read verse 8 here out of the opening of the seal. It's the same thing Jesus said over there. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven about the half space of a half hour. Amen. Now watch. What I want you to know is he didn't tell them right then. He didn't tell them. But let's go on to Revelation chapter 10. Now, the book's unsealed. The seven seals took off. And out of the little book, see, this is the, Lord help me say it right. This is the tomb that holds the little book in prison. For seven church ages. That's why people didn't know how to baptize. That's why you got your denominational system. That's why all you got all these other things. That's why the Mormons, they come forth, they got a revelation. They couldn't make it fit with the Word. So what's the difference, mate? We'll write our own Bible. Amen? Well, but they couldn't wait, like Eve in the garden couldn't wait. Amen. God's revealing it. He's just now His time, His day, His hour. Now watch Revelation 10. Here He comes like He did on the day of Pentecost. After the church age over, after the book over, John said, I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud rainbow upon His head, and His face was as the sun, Christ exactly. And His feet as pillar of fire. Now here He come back to earth. The same one that left. Amen. The same one that came on the day of Pentecost. Here He comes in a different form. And when He comes this time, He's going to give you something. He's going to restore everything that Paul said. Going to pick up what Paul said and make it become alive to us. He brings back the revelation of what Paul said and lay it on the Word, the prophetic part, and it will absolutely translate a people here at the end time that they won't see death, and we which are alive and remain till the coming of the Lord, not going to hinder them that dead, because God said I'm going to bring them out of the grave. And then I'm going to change the living to be called up to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. So here He comes back. The mighty angel. That means it's Christ. Not Jesus Christ coming. It's Christ Jesus. Now when you say Jesus, that denotes a man. Amen. Christ denotes a spirit. Here He comes back. Christ means anointing. A spirit. A mighty angel. Comes back to earth. This is preparatory to get ready for the rapture. So when He comes, He had a little book in His hand that was open.
mean the book has the seal's been took off. Amen. The little book's been taken out of the big book and it's brought down here to earth. Let's see what he's going to do with it. And he had a little book in his hand and he set his right foot upon the sea, left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Amen. John saw this in 96 A.D. Seven thunders, but he said, seven thunders uttered their voices. Verse 4, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. Now I want you to know there's something that wasn't written. What did Jesus say? He said, I've got a lot of things to say to you. Amen. There's many things I've got to say, but said the Holy Spirit will reveal them. Amen. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, brought forth revelation. Paul said, God has made known unto me things that's been hid from the foundation of the world. Corinthians and also Ephesians. Things that have been hid. How did he know them? They were revealed to him by Jesus Christ, who was in the form of the Holy Ghost. So he says here, don't write this, John. And I heard a voice in heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which are the thunders uttered, and write them not. They were stayed sealed up for seven church ages, and from the days of Paul till now. And now the whole book's open. Hallelujah. The seven seals open. And when the seven seals open, amen, every seal, something was said. White horse rider, red horse rider, all that. But when the seventh was opened, not one word was spoken. He would say what needed to be said. When he comes to earth, watch that. How many sees that? Revelation 8 and 1, when he had opened the seventh seal, it wasn't anything but silence. But here come one that knew all the whole plan. And he came, and verse 5 says, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lift his hand to heaven and swear by him that lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things therein are, and the earth and the things which are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that time should be no more. In other words, you've come through denominational time period. Time is no more to wonder about these things. Time is no more for you to ponder about these things. Amen. It's time now for you to know it. Time is no more whether you should wonder if you're going to be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. Time is no more to probe at these things. Now watch. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he declared to serve the prophet. That mystery, that was the church age, this time period that we've come through from Pentecost up now. But watch now. Verse 8, and I'm going to hurry here. This is my closing out here. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go take the little book which is open. The Lamb's opened the seals in heaven. Christ brought it down the mighty throne. He said, go. And take the little book which is open in the hand of the mighty, in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And John, being a type of the true church here, he says, and I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. Now, watch this. We're getting something that was in heaven that's brought down to earth. Amen. It was unsealed in heaven, brought down to earth, and in heaven, if we'd had the time, you might want to get last week's tape. Amen. Last week's tape, it shows that no man in heaven or in earth or anywhere was able to take the book, and here come the Lamb and took it. And now he gives us, it means that he gives us the gift of righteousness. Amen. We're as righteous as he's righteous. How are you righteous? Not by something you've done, not something you will do, or not something that you're doing, but he gives you his very own righteousness. Of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 21, it says, Christ became sin for you, that you could become the very righteousness of God. Romans, 5th chapter says, he gives you the gift of righteousness. If he gives you the gift of righteousness, there's not one thing you can do to earn it. It's a gift, and that makes you as righteous as he's righteous, because he gave you his very own righteousness. Now you're ready for the translation. You're ready for the change. You're ready to say, Lord, I believe. whatever you have for me, Lord, let it be. And because you love Him, because you appreciate what He's done, and because He's your all in all, amen, you don't want to do a thing that would displease Him. Not because you're afraid He's going to do something or throw you away or something, and not because it'll make you more righteous or less righteous when He gives you His righteousness. Now listen to this statement. When He gives you His righteousness, you're as righteous as you can be. What if I do this? What if I help the poor? What if I help this? Well, those things are good things to do. Amen, but it don't make you more righteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get excited and bump against the recording case. Amen. Amen. All right, let me notice here He brings back something that was in heaven. Amen. You're obtaining something now that was previously unattainable. Because it was in heaven. Here it's brought back, and the Almighty God gives a voice and said, go get the little book. Verse 9 says, and I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, eat it up, and it shall make thy bitter, bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth as sweet as honey. And notice 10, and I took the book out of the hand of the angel and ate it up. And it sounded good. It was sweet in my mouth, but when I ate bitter, it, my belly was bitter because people thought I lost my mind. See, that's one of the things. And he said, thou must prophesy again before many people, nations, people, before many people and nations and tongues and kings. There it is. It's back here. It's here today. Jesus Christ is here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The things that He had to say. Amen. Jesus Christ, the ministry of Jesus Christ and the seventh seal. See, in His day and time, He didn't open it up to the apostles right then. Amen. Because He died, He left it for them. And when God took the prophet off the scene in this hour, amen, it was left that way. Amen, that we could take, and it was open, but it wasn't explained. Amen. Because He wanted us to, as Jesus said, the Holy Ghost will tell you what to do. He said, I've got so many things to say. I could talk for weeks. I could tell you, I could talk for a lifetime. There's so many things to say, but so I got to go. Amen. I've done paid the price. I go back to the Father. And says, why? The reason I've got to go is this. How many knows why? The Holy Ghost will not come. The disciples said, Lord, you don't have to go. Don't let it be so. He said, unless I go not, the Holy Ghost will not come. Amen. So He ascended on high, sent back His Spirit. Amen. And that's why Pentecost. That's why those preachers preached and said exactly what it was to be said. Amen. Paul was preaching one night and he got a little long-winded, what some people accuse me of. But you know I'm not guilty. But a man fell out of the window and they were taken up and there was no life. They killed him. Third law. He went up. You know what he did? He raised him from the dead and continued speaking till the break of day. That's what God can do. That's what Christ can do. Well, He's back here in the same way if you can believe. All things are possible, only believe. How many believe it? Amen. The ministry of Jesus Christ in that day. Amen. The ministry of Christ Jesus in this day as the seventh seal has been opened. Amen. As it was opened. Amen. God didn't, through the mouth of the prophet, didn't tell us all what would be. But here come a man named Raymond Jackson preaching, telling about Israel. Here come a man saying, go get the little book and eat it. Hallelujah, we're doing good, aren't we, folks? God bless you. Amen. What we got to do, walk in the light of the Word. We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of... Amen. Do you love Him now? I love Him. I love Him because He first and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
How many saw the ministry of Jesus Christ through Peter and Paul and the apostles? Amen. Now it's the gospel of Christ Jesus, which He come in the form of an angel. And that's what you're witnessing this day and this hour. God bless you this morning. Amen. Thank you for giving attention to the Word like you have. And we appreciate you. We love you in the Lord. And we pray that this Word will find a lodging place in your heart. And remember, anytime you want to hear these, you can do it on the website. And also, there will be tapes available next week. Amen. So God bless you. And we pray that God will give you a great week this week. Amen.